Hello, everybody. Josh Brown here, back for another great episode on Franchise Euphoria. Well, today's episode is brought to you by IndieFranchiseLaw.com, a leading resource in the franchise space to help you if you're considering buying a franchise, turning your business into a franchise, or growing your business through a licensing or franchise structure. So go on, check it out, IndieFranchiseLaw.com. I think you'll find a lot of valuable and free information as you continue to kind of weigh franchising and licensing and the growth of your business. Without further ado, I hope you enjoy today's episode. On today's episode of Franchise Euphoria, I have on Lindsay Junk. Lindsay is the president of Yoga 6 franchise. She attended University of Hawaii as a varsity cross-country athlete, Ironman triathlete, and swimmer, and then worked at Gold's Gym in 24-hour fitness and has always been a very competitive person. After working her way up in the fitness industry, Lindsay found success at Yoga Works and eventually True Fusion. From there, she was introduced to Exponential Fitness and felt the connection with the energy of the boutique fitness world it was building. When Exponential acquired Yoga 6, she was brought on as the company's president. She ultimately wants and hopes that Yoga 6 becomes the nation's largest yoga brand and helps others find their purpose, strength, and tribe. Yoga 6, as mentioned, is a yoga franchise that is part of the Exponential Fitness brand. I've had on several people who are part of Exponential Fitness and their variety of fitness franchises. I enjoy this interview with Lindsay. We talked about their rapid expansion, how they're dealing with that, the operational infrastructure, you know, what they're doing and dealing with COVID-19 and their studios and some of their digital offerings. And a whole variety of interesting topics with Lindsay. And I really enjoyed this interview, and I hope you will as well. Hey, Lindsay, welcome to Franchise Euphoria. How you doing?
I'm great. Thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you on. You're the president of Yoga 6 franchise, which is another exponential fitness brand. Had many of them on my show, and so thrilled to speak with you and learn more about the brand. But you also, before you got involved with Yoga 6, you have a tremendous history in athletics and competitions, and really that I think lends itself well to the fitness industry. So before we dive into the whole Yoga 6 brand, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, thanks for asking. Yeah, I've been in the fitness industry or just in sports in general since I was like 6. You know, my whole life, people would say, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to do? And I would just say, I just want to go to the Olympics. And then they'd ask me, like, what do you want to do in the Olympics? And I'd say, I don't know, just something. I just want to be in that. So I've been really competitive and into sports forever. And so I went to University of Hawaii. I did all the different sports in high school and had a ton of fun. I wasn't actually really that good, but I just really enjoyed them. I liked the team, the camaraderie, and the competition.
And you had no fun at University of Hawaii. Man, I can't think. It's not beautiful there. It's horrible weather. It's hard there.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in Vancouver, British Columbia, it's a beautiful place, but it rains a lot. And so
I love Vancouver. Yeah. I've been there and I thought it was absolutely beautiful, but it does rain a lot.
Rains a lot, but it's a great place for mountain biking and, you know, climbing and things like that. So I wanted to go somewhere different and I wanted to get out of Canada. And so I was lucky enough to get a scholarship to run cross country at University of Hawaii. So I went there it took me 5 years to finish, ran for 4 of them. And then in my 5th year, I decided to try to walk onto the swim team. I was a swimmer as a kid and I loved the water. So I did that my last year. I wasn't really very good, but I just did it for exercise. And of course I learned to surf and all that fun stuff while I was there. And then the swimming part kind of parlayed me into triathlons, and Hawaii is kind of known for triathlon. That was where the first Ironman was held. And so I jumped into triathlons after I got done with college and did a handful of Ironmans, which was a lot of fun and a really great way to learn mental toughness. And then I tried to become a professional in triathlons, and I think I made $50. So I didn't.
Hey, that's better than most.
Yeah, I think I might have got a free bike here or there and some sunglasses and stuff like that, but I wasn't good enough to really do much with it. So I figured I better start working. And, you know, being Canadian, part of going to school was they tell you you have 1 year to do some sort of internship and you can stay in the country and work. And so I was trying to figure in my degrees in biochemistry and nutrition. And so I tried to figure out what can I actually do that matches with my, you know, that matches with my passion. And I ended up working at Gold's Gym as a nutrition technologist, which is a kind of a funny job, but it was good. I was basically working with people that had got, you know, the 5-star, 5-diamond membership. And I would meet with them once a week and look at their nutrition. And while I was working there, Gold's got bought by 24 Hour Fitness. And that was kind of the beginning of my education in the fitness industry. And when they got bought, 24 Hour was just on the rise. They just had a handful of gyms. And I was lucky enough to get bought with them, I guess is what you could call it. And I became the fitness director. And then from there, I had a bunch of different titles, a bunch of different jobs, worked with 24 Hour for 15 years, left there as a VP. And I actually had to move from Hawaii to California in order to be able to grow my career. So when I left 24 Hour, I was running 18 locations in Los Angeles. And I left because I was pregnant with twins. And my husband and I thought that I would stay home and look after them. It turned out that I wasn't good at staying home. So I lasted for maybe 6 months. And then I went back to work, but not with 24 Hour Fitness. I ended up going and working with Yoga Works. And I was lucky because the founder of 24 Hour had an interest in Yoga Works and asked me to come over and work there and help them grow their business. And so I learned at 24 Hour Fitness how to create a recurring revenue stream and focus on the monthly dues and build processes and systems around that. And he said, we just got to do the same thing in yoga. Because typically yoga hadn't been run that way. It was more of a class package type situation where people would buy 10 classes and, you know, use their 10 and then get 10 more, but they didn't have memberships. And so I came into Yoga Works with the thinking that we were going to start charging monthly memberships. And everybody thought I was crazy, but it worked. And we were able to grow Yoga Works from just, I think I started with them. They had 7 or 8 locations. And we grew Yoga Works to over 75 and sold them to a private equity firm that eventually took them public, which was really exciting for the yoga industry in general. Sure. And then, so I left after that, spent a couple of years working with my husband. We started our own consulting company where we worked with franchisees on exactly what I did at Yoga Works and 24 Hour Fitness, which was just creating systems and processes so that they could grow their business. And then one of the franchises that I worked with, I just fell in love with. It was True Fusion. They're out of Las Vegas, and it was just, I really liked the concept. And so I left the consulting business and I started working full-time for them as their chief development officer, spent 2 years there, and then got lucky enough to meet up with Anthony Geisler when he was looking for a yoga brand. And based on my background in fitness, he asked me to come on board. And so I've been with Yoga 6 since August of 2018. It's been a wild ride.
Well, that's awesome. And for those who don't know, so Lindsay's husband is Ryan. And then Ryan was on another episode because Ryan is the president of Cycle Bar, which is also an exponential fitness brand. So fitness kind of runs through the whole family. How are your twins doing?
Oh, they're, and I didn't talk about my son in that. In between all that, I had a son as well.
Oh, wow. So you got three.
We've got three. Yeah. We've got 12-year-old daughters. They're great. They're super into fitness too and sports and soccer and all that good stuff. And then we have a 10-year-old son.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he's also a sports fanatic. So,
well, I've got three daughters.
How old are they?
11, 6, and 4. So I know what you're dealing with a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, so that's really a great background for when you met Anthony and Exponential Fitness. You know, when you met him and you come on board, did you come right on as president of Yoga 6?
I did. Yeah. He bought Yoga 6 and I think I started the next day. Employee number one in the, at least in Yoga 6 franchising.
And that was when? That was 2018?
Yeah. August of 2018. All of the Exponential brands were already working together in the office. I was brand number 6. As I don't think he did that on purpose, but Yoga 6, number 6. So, you know, Club Pilates was already there and Cycle Bar was there and Row House and Stretch and AKT. So I was the 6th child, I guess. And Anthony on my first day just said, okay, we bought this. You're in charge. You need to rebrand it. You need to create your FDD and you got to hire a team, which was the craziest, coolest thing that I've ever gotten to do.
Oh, so when you started day one, how many locations did Yoga 6 have?
We had 7.
But it wasn't, was it franchised yet or it wasn't franchised?
No. So Yoga 6 was a corporate entity and they had 7 locations. Actually, they had more than that. But during the, when Anthony was going to buy Yoga 6, there was a handful of the studios that they actually had 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So they had 12 and he during the sale, they wanted to, the original founders wanted to keep five of them and just keep doing their own thing. So they rebranded them Yoga Squad and kept doing their own, like managing them themselves. And then we took the rest and we franchised those studios back to the original founder.
Oh, okay. So the original founder is running Yoga Squad separately. Yeah. And then also is a franchisee under Exponential Brand with five Yoga Sixes.
That is correct.
Okay. Fascinating. So how's that been going?
That's good. I mean, and so it was interesting as he started, they lasted a couple months doing it that way and then realized that they didn't want to continue to run their Yoga Squads separately.
Yeah. It seems interesting. It's like, I mean, I get it on the one hand, but on the other hand, it's like you've got two totally just competing businesses that each are probably going to have their own systems and processes. So at some point probably had to cross their mind and your mind.
Yeah. Just they were in different parts of the country. So the squad studios were in Chicago and Milwaukee and Ohio, and their Yoga Sixes were in St. Louis in California. And so they figured they could just run them separately. But what ended up happening was just, it was a more of a bandwidth issue, I think. And it was just easier to put them all together. So we ended up actually bringing back those Yoga Squads and rebranding them and putting them back as Yoga Sixes.
Okay. That's interesting. How did that, no, I mean, I think it's, when I say interesting, I think it's interesting in a good way. And I think Exponential, I think with other brands has done that a little bit, right? They've got a few locations. Exponential comes in, essentially purchases them. And it sounds like works with the founding entrepreneur to really kind of say, hey, do you want to be a part of this brand? Do you want to keep part of it to yourself and have both? And probably give some leeway for the founder to decide. But then ultimately, in this case, obviously, it's all under the Yoga Six brand. But one thing I'm curious about that I think would be of interest is, you know, what type of systems and processes did those folks bring in? And are they different or similar to Exponential? Because Exponential kind of comes in with their own way of doing things.
Yeah, there's definitely the Expo playbook. And ours is just more like, ours is the boring stuff, right? Like the POS system, the sales process, the marketing, the pre-sale process. So those are all things that have worked for all of the brands, kind of started with Club Pilates and then kept refining and getting better as Club Pilates has grown. And so we just basically take that playbook and copy and paste and create, you know, make it so that it's for our brand. And we follow that. And all of the brands do their best to try to stay in line and follow those processes because they work, right? And since I've been in fitness, and that this was in the 90s, you know, getting leads and following up with the leads and making phone calls and making contacts and having people come in and try the workout and then getting them to enroll and then getting referrals. That's been since I started back when I was in my 20s and it hasn't changed. I keep hoping maybe there'll be some magic bullet that we can just do and it'll make it easier, but it's not. It's what I did when I was 23. So it's all the same. But what the other, you know, like Yoga Six had that was really special and is just that the product. And that's what Anthony does a really good job of, is he finds these really great products that are doing well because the product is so good, but isn't, they're not really fully being marketed and they're not maximizing their potential because nobody's really, you know, following up with leads or even trying to get leads or getting people to join. They're just like, man, this is a great workout. You should try it. And it just sort of organically grows. And so that's what Yoga Six was. It was just a fantastic form of yoga. And the reason that it was so great was because they had already kind of taken demystified yoga. So a lot of times people think about, you know, yoga and they're like, oh, they're thinking of people chanting or, you know, burning incense or just kind of weirdness, right? Stuff that they've never heard of before. And even though you watch people doing the poses and think, gosh, you know, I should do that. That would really help my running, or that would really help me sleep, or really help me feel more flexible. It would help my back. A lot of times people don't, because it's just so strange to them and so foreign to them. And so Yoga Six, before we even came on board, had already demystified it. And they were starting to have a lot of fun in the practice rooms. And they were getting all sorts of people to try yoga for the first time. So you would come into Yoga Six. I remember before I started with the company, I had done a little bit of research. And actually Yoga Six was a competitor of Yoga Works. So I knew about them. And I'd taken class. And what I noticed with them was that they had way more men in class than we did at Yoga Works. And they had people in there that just didn't look like your regular yoga people. Meaning like there was, you know, some people that maybe were a little bit older and some kids that were, you know, my daughter's age. And you could tell that there were maybe some athletes from other sports that were in there cross training. And that's really unique right now in yoga, because most of the yoga studios are more mom and pop owner operated and specifically focused on traditional yoga. So Yoga 6, what they did really well was make yoga fun, and they made yoga for everyone.
So that's a great point to like tell us, and then we'll talk about the model a little bit more, is describe to me what it's like for somebody to walk into a Yoga 6. Like, give, because obviously this is an audio podcast, so I think give somebody a picture of what it's like, what the experience is like. And, you know, as you talked about, you felt like it was so different, it was so unique, it worked really well. So talk about how it's different than your typical yoga studio.
Sure. Well, I mean, you walk into a Yoga 6, and if you didn't know it was a, like, if you didn't know, like, it says Yoga 6 on the building, so obviously you know it's a yoga studio, but say there was no sign, you would just think you were walking into a fitness studio. It's very, very clean. You know, we've got retail in there, but it's very inviting and something that anyone would feel comfortable in. It doesn't really pigeonhole you into a certain type of person. We're, you know, of course, really friendly and people very welcoming. But I think the thing that you'll notice when you walk into the practice room, so you'll walk in at the in the front desk, you would check in just like at any other fitness place, like if you were going to a cycle bar or an AKT or a Club Pilates. And then there's another room where the workout happens. And what we try to focus on at Yoga 6 is a full sensory experience, so that 1 hour that you get to get away from your kids or get away from your job or just take for yourself is fully, you're fully focused on yourself and there's no distractions. So you walk into our room, there's no windows. We fully control the environment. We top of the line lighting system that the lights will change depending on the what's going on in the class. So let's say you walked in to take a really relaxing class called Restore. The lights would be, you know, a very nice blue green color. There would be music playing that would be calming music. We have a sort of signature scent that's sort of based around the type of cleaning material that we use. It smells really nice. And then all of the props that you would use in your class, you don't see any of them. We have a special storage closet. We've done that by design because we don't want to have any clutter in the room. So the goal is when you walk into that practice room, you just go, you know, like you, all the stress is gone. There's nothing to think about outside. The lighting, the music, the heat, all should be working together to create a very specific environment. The goal at Yoga 6, and we say this in a lot of our training, is that 1 hour that you're spending in that classroom should be the best hour of your client's day. And we do a lot of different things to try to make sure that's special, all the way from the way the teachers will greet you when you walk into the room, making sure that if it's your first time there, they show you where to set up your mat and how to get your props and explain to you what's going to happen. At the very end, you get a nice cold, cool towel to wipe your face and your sweat off, because most of our classes are hot. And so that cool towel feels really good at the end.
You know, for a non-yoga person, I always thought that was fascinating. It's like, first of all, the thought for some people who are, you know, people love yoga, right? Like the people who love it, it's their thing. The people who don't are sort of like, okay, on top of doing yoga, now you want it to be in an extremely hot room. I mean, that sounds awful.
It does. Right? We've never done it before, but I'll tell you this. So a lot of times,
but I think people say it's amazing. People say it's the best feeling, like 30 minutes after, like you feel like you're going to faint and all that, and you have to go through. And then like 30 minutes after, I've heard routinely from, I can't tell you the number of people say it's like the best they've ever felt at that point after.
Yeah. And, you know, we're not as hot as some, right? So there's other, you know, some of the hot yoga gets really, really, really hot, like Bikram and some of the yoga that's been derived from those, that type of yoga. But with Yoga 6, it's 104 degrees. That's the hottest we'll be, and 40% humidity. And what's great about it is that even if you don't really work hard, let's just say you're kind of loafing it a little bit in the class, you're still going to be drenched with sweat and you're still really going to feel like you've got that, you've got your sweat in for the day. And I know there's a lot of people out there that said they want to sweat every day, and you will get your sweat no matter, you know, how easy you're going in the class. And I think that's really what people appreciate, is that you can get that feeling of, you know, sweating and feeling like you're sweating out all of the toxins and really feel like you've done something because of the environment. And if you decide, you know, that one day that you walk in, you're like, I'm just going to crush it today, I'm going to work really hard, you can. And the environment is such that it's not too hot to be able to do that. And you can really give yourself a great workout. But let's say you're not really into it and you just want to get a medium workout, you're going to feel like you got a fantastic workout. And that's the addicting part to the hot yoga. is that it's just the feeling of like going into a sauna and sweating it out. It feels really good.
Yeah, that's what people say. I mean, that's what I hear a lot about. Now, when you, I mean, because you laid out kind of in detail, like the whole process that you take, you know, somebody through, a customer through. I mean, was this something that you created when you became part of Yoga 6, became the president, or when you went in, as you described on that first day, and it was like, you know, Anthony says, okay, go make this work. Are you given the exponential sort of roadmap of, okay, here's what we've done in our other locations, and we're going to utilize the same sort of systems and processes, but we're going to tailor it to yoga as opposed to cycling and some of the right. other operations?
The roadmap, the exponential roadmap's more around the business process. So, you know, Anthony and the rest of the presidents and I spent a lot of time talking about leads and talking about how, you know, how do we get our leads and how much are we spending on the leads and what are we doing to get leads? And we spend a lot of time talking about like our POS system and our lead management system and what the sales, you know, what our sales process looks like. That is something that is pretty universal inside of Exponential. But what each brand is gets to kind of do on its own is the class and the experience inside the classroom. And so that wasn't the cool towel and, you know, the lighting and all of that is not, I wouldn't say it's an Exponential play, but most of the brands do have something really special when you walk into each one of them. But the idea for Yoga 6 and the full sensory experience was something that just the team and I, based off of our experience in the yoga and the fitness industry, felt would be really well received. And so we worked really hard on making it that full experience. It's hard to describe. I need to get better at painting.
No, you described it great. Yeah. I think it's
okay. Cause I try a lot when I'm explaining it to people, cause I want people to come and try it, but it should be some, it is very unique in the industry. Typically when you go into a regular, you know, traditional yoga studio, it's just different. There's not bad. I think that I used to do a lot of traditional yoga, but just for your average person, it's intimidating. And so you're not going to have any of that in ours. You know, our teachers are really going to focus on the members when they walk through the door and making sure they feel comfortable. There's no Sanskrit. So I remember the first couple of times I took a yoga class, I had no idea what they were saying. And I kept thinking to myself, and I was working for the company at the time. And I finally asked, you know, I said, look, when is somebody going to explain what these words are? And he looked at me, he's like, you know, we don't ever do that. I'm like, well, maybe we should. Like, I don't know what's going on in these classes. I just follow along. I'm a pretty good athlete, I guess. So I figure it out. And so we ended up creating a 101 class. This was back at Yoga Works because nobody knew what anything was. But you had to take this special class in order to be able to understand what was kind of going on.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. And it helped. I mean, it really helped our first time people and they ended up we ended up getting more first timers that way. But with Yoga 6, you don't need to take this special. We do actually have a 101 class as well, but you don't need to take it. If you're walking to any one of our 6 styles of classes, you should be able to be very comfortable in any of them just based on the way that we teach.
So you're given this sort of open road with some lanes on them, but the lanes are broad, right? It's like, okay, go make this happen. Mm-hmm. So you turn it into the franchise, you get the FDD set up, you go through all that whole process through your legal team and you get it set up and now you go out. What was that like for you and the brand in sort of rolling it out there in terms of, you know,
the first time we launched it, it was so much fun. That's probably the most fun I've had in my career, just because of the way it was received. You know, we have a really great vice president of development who's got a ton of energy, Lance Freeman, and he's, you know, a lot of contacts in the industry. So we launched it just to kind of explain, sort of very similar to the way I'm explaining the concept to you now. We did that with a bunch of different broker networks. And then launch the product, and then the brokers take it to market, and then eventually people come back and come to Discovery Day. So we had our first big Discovery Day in December of 2018. And so usually,
not that long ago, right? I mean, like, you know, a year and three months ago.
Yeah, it's gone really quickly. But usually at Exponential, we have a sprinter van that, like, if you have, you know, maybe 15 people come to Discovery Day, you can use the sprinter van. Or we can sometimes rent like a medium-sized bus to take everybody to the class. So what happens is we pick them up, anyone that's coming to our Discovery Day at a hotel, and then we take them to take class at Yoga 6. So anyways, with our first Discovery Day, we had to get the biggest bus you could get, and we maxed out at over 50 people. And that was a pretty wild experience, having all of these people from all over the country that were just super jazzed and psyched on the idea of opening a Yoga 6 franchise in their town.
And they were just from everywhere. I mean, did you guys target certain geographic locations? Just everywhere.
Yeah. I had it in my head in the beginning. I thought, oh, I'm going to have a bunch of yoga teachers from California that are going to want to buy franchises. But that wasn't the case. We had guys from Florida, from Colorado. The first studio that we opened was in Albuquerque, New Mexico. We actually did get quite a few of our the franchisees from Club Pilates that had, you know, the markets that they were in had already sold out with Club Pilates. And so they wanted to be able to grow their business. And
so they're crossing over.
Yeah. So we had a handful of those, but we've got quite a few people from just middle America. It's been wild. And I think the reason that it's been so well received is because they understand it. Everybody knows what yoga is, and the way that we presented it is a way that everyone can do it. And so, you know, just like Carmel, Indiana, I mean, you've got a Yoga 6.
Yeah, just opened, and then just like the whole world just shut down. No, I think you guys are doing some online stuff, but yeah, it just recently opened up in Carmel. I mean, that's a good segue really into talk about the franchisees that you guys are looking for. I mean, obviously you have the broker networks, and you know, for those who don't know what that is, I mean, essentially a franchisor goes out, and then once they've developed the system, developed the franchise, and they're trying to grow, you know, you can do it multiple ways. You do it through word of mouth, you do it through digital marketing, digital media, traditional advertising, but then you also go to these broker networks where you have brokers that literally go out and find prospects for you. And then if those franchisees or those franchise prospects sign on, then a portion, I think a rather large portion of the franchise fee essentially goes to those broker networks to pay for them helping to find people for the franchise system. Is that right?
Yeah, we're not. I mean, the franchise fee is really just most of that is going towards.
Yeah, you really don't keep much of that as a franchisor.
Yeah, we're much more. I mean, our business is all set around royalties, so we really want to get our studios open. And we are super successful when our franchisees are super successful. So I don't like it when I sell a franchise and then it never opens. We've got to get those guys to open and get their students in there and become successful.
Well, and that's the way franchising should be, right? I mean, you got to get them open. And then the higher the sales, the better than they do, the better the franchisor does, because you're receiving more of the royalties and everybody's kind of working towards the same goal at that point.
For sure.
But what are you looking for, Lindsay, as the president? I mean, what kind of, you know, it's always interesting to me. I mean, the natural inclination would be, oh, let's go find somebody who loves yoga or who loves, you know, and maybe that's the case, but maybe not. Well, I mean,
when I first started, like I said, I thought I was going to have that, but most of our franchisees, when they come to Discovery Day, have never really done yoga before. We have a lot of first timers. And when they come out of the class, they're just blown away. They're like, wow, I wish I would have been doing this longer. So you don't have to be somebody that's done yoga before. That's for sure. What I like to find are people that want to follow the system and respect the system, respect the fact that we've got a little bit of knowledge behind us and been doing this for a while, but also have an entrepreneurial spirit and are, you know, understand that it's their business and they own it. Those traits are really important to me. I also look for people that have a general positive outlook. What I've learned in the last 18 months is that the most successful franchisees are the ones that are able to overcome adversity, because it's not all sunshine and rainbows, right? Like even if it's in the perfect time to open a studio, there's always going to be something that comes up. And some of them are really tiny things, but if you're not good at overcoming adversity and you're not used to working through difficult times, then it's harder to be successful. So I really try to weed out those that I think maybe don't have experience with working through adversity or aren't going to handle adversity well.
But how do you test for that? I mean, how do you, like, when you're going and somebody's applying and wants to become a Yoga 6 franchisee, obviously you're getting their background, you're getting financial information, you're getting all that. Do you go through a interview process, or is that really done at the Discovery Day and through the Discovery Day protocols that you guys do?
It's done at the Discovery Day, and I'm getting really good at telling how people are going to be as a franchisee, but we get to know them pretty well. And the good thing is the majority of anybody that wants to get into franchising typically has that, you know, can-do spirit, positive attitude. And so there's not a lot of times where we're like, no, that person's not going to work out. You know, we typically don't have people applying that don't qualify, but we do, you know, we get to take a full 1-hour yoga class with them. So you watch, how do they handle themselves in a hot room if they've never done yoga before. So that's a pretty good indicator. And then we all go out for dinner and get to know each other, just chatting and, you know, we're typically not talking business, but just getting to know personalities. And then we spend a full day the next day in a classroom setting going through what each department does to support our franchisees. And I can usually tell by the level of engagement and the type of questions that they ask how they'll end up being. And then I can tell how they conduct themselves through the discovery process, how quickly they can they make decisions and those types of things.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, so, and you guys have obviously, I mean, at this point, I think, so you've got 35 locations open. Is that right?
Well, if you're going to count the virtual ones that we're opening this week, we have 50.
Oh, yeah, 50. Okay, so we'll count those. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I want to hear about that. But then you've got a whopping 400 signed franchise agreements. Is that, or 450 or something like that, right?
Right, and we just hit 460 this morning. We had a gentleman, actually, how funny is that? In Indiana, they just joined us.
Really? Yeah. Okay, that's cool.
Fort Wayne, is that right?
Yeah, Fort Wayne. That's about 2.5 hours away from where I'm at, but that's cool. How do you do that? I mean, how you know, I've had and I've done probably 320 of these podcasts, right? And I'm a franchise lawyer in my real work. But you know, it's interesting because Exponential, and I've said this on other podcasts, I've never seen a company able to take these brands and grow them so fast, which definitely is impressive. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's very impressive. It's hard to do and it's very impressive. But also from the franchisee side of things, you know, I always want to look at it or want people to look at and be comfortable with the fact that, you know, when you have 35 locations open, the system turned into a franchise in December 2018. And so there's not a huge runway. Obviously, there's a runway for other brands that are a part of it. But for this specific brand, now you got 460 in the pipeline that need to open, which takes a whole team. And I think Exponential has that. But I want to hear you kind of talk about that. I guess the ultimate question is that too fast? I mean, is there a too fast for franchise growth? Or is that just me thinking that it's too fast?
I think if it was a corporation, then yeah, that would be way too fast because you've got just one team doing the whole process. Like, you know, I think back to my 24-hour fitness days and my yoga works days, there's no way we could open, you know, 100 studios in 18 months. But in franchising, we already kind of know what's coming. I know what's coming down the pipe, right? Like I know exactly how many franchise agreements were signed in the month of March. And based off of that number, I can tell you how many should open 6 months later. And so we really, like, we can tell, we have it very rote as far as like what needs to happen and what my team needs to do to make sure it's executed. But remember, in franchising, it's the franchisee that's the business owner and they're doing most of the work. We have a system that they're following and we're shepherding, you know, them through, and we're talking to them once a week. Each department, probably a typical franchisee with Yoga 6 is probably going to have like 3 or 4 phone calls a week with the team in different departments. So you think, you know, you're going to talk to the development team. That's the team that's going to help build the studio. They have a once a week check-in. And then you're going to talk to the marketing team and the pre-sale team that's going to help you sell your studio. And then the education team that will help you get your teachers hired and trained. But there's a process for all of that. So the team never, you know, there's been maybe 1 or 2 times where we're like, man, I can't believe we just opened that many studios and we're all still standing. Because if we just stick to the process and everybody just sticks with that, we're fine. It's when we don't stick to the process or we decide to add some things in or franchisees go rogue, that's when it becomes a challenge. We've been lucky that most of our franchisees are pretty excited about the product and we don't get a lot of them going rogue. And sometimes when they do go rogue, some good things come out of it. So
do you guys have worked in minimums of like how many people they have signed up? And do you have, I'm assuming you have, your team split up into geographic locations to help these franchisees? Because I mean, you know, a lot of them, they don't have any background in business ownership, but they bring traits that, you know, will hopefully help them be successful. But there's that ramp up period, right? I mean, the first 6 months to 9 months of the franchise is going to be like learning a new language. And I'm just curious, do you guys, what kind of support do you guys have for those folks?
Yeah. So in the meeting, we've got two directors of development, probably going to have more coming on after we get out of this quarantine, but they're broken up. They split the country. And then, you know, we've got master trainers all over the country. So, you know, if you're in Indiana, there's a couple that are close to you. We've got them all over, depending on, you know, where the franchise is opening. So that is something that does, they don't work out of the corporate office. And then from a sales perspective, we've got two people that are working through the pre-sale process. And yeah, as far as minimum goes, we wouldn't say you can't open if you don't have a certain number of members, but we really like to see most of our studios opening up with, you know, 250 members to start. And that's pretty close to fly, you know, if you're an airplane, that's close to, you can turn on the Wi-Fi time. And so that kind of support is there. And then every week, once the studios are open, we've got a sales and operations call that they can log into and jump onto anytime. We've got a lead teacher call that happens once every 2 weeks that they can log onto anytime. And then from a quality control standpoint, we have cameras in our classrooms that our master trainers are constantly reviewing and giving feedback to the lead teachers of our studios so that we know that our product is on point. That's actually been part of the reason why we, I think, have been pretty successful in growing as fast as we can, because our goal is, if you take a class in Carmel, Indiana, let's say you take the Y6 Hot, and then you decide you're going to come visit me out here in California and you take a class in Redondo Beach, which is where I live, you should have the same experience.
And is one membership a membership to all? Is that how it works?
Yep.
Okay.
And that really allows us to compete in the marketplace right now. I mean, you can go all over the country and take yoga classes, very similar to, you know, Club Pilates or Orange Theory.
You just got to get those suckers open.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I get asked that question though, like, how are you going to do it? But it's, as long as we are following a system and we're smart about hiring. I mean, I'll typically hire someone 3 months before I need them, because I know right now that I need to hire another director of development. And I will as soon as I can.
Well, yeah, you're going to need to gear up for when everything goes back to whatever normal is, because there's going to be opportunities there.
And what's been really great during this time is that we haven't stopped construction. Most of our studios are still being built and still selling memberships and still running classes virtually. I would never have thought that this would be the case, but it's been really cool to see that we can still run a business without having an open studio. We're having, you know, some of our classes get 50 and 60 people attending virtually, which is insane.
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, that's what you had said earlier too. So tell me before we end, as we kind of get close to the end, I mean, obviously COVID-19, and I've talked numerous, you know, franchise businesses, and everybody's got to go to the virtual side of things.
Yeah.
And everybody's putting on, you know, some are doing sort of the live instructions. Others are doing the virtual, purely just digital. Some are doing a combination of the two. What are you guys doing?
A combination of the two. So we already had a on-demand platform called Y6 Go, where we had banked a couple hundred classes that were already there. So we gave all of our members access to our Go product, which means you can just, you know, at 2 a.m, decide, oh, I want to do a yoga class, log in and take a class, which has been very well received. So we're excited about that. And then we also are, all of our studios have started doing virtual classes, which means, you know, like, let's say today at 4 o'clock, actually there is one today at 4 o'clock in the Redondo Beach. That's the location I go to. So I'm going to log into the class at 4 and take that class. And then what's cool is, because all our memberships give you access to all locations, I could also take a class in Carmel, Indiana. And so our members right now have access to hundreds and hundreds of classes that are just live streaming all day long. So it's not, nothing's ever going to take the place of that, you know, the room that I described, right?
That's right. Yeah.
The full sensory experience. I mean, when I do a class at home, you know, I've got my kids practicing ukulele in the background, my husband's eating, and, you know, one of my kids is on playing Minecraft. Like, it's not that full experience, but I can still take a class and I still get something.
Well, and some people, I think more people might want to go to that mixed option, right? You know, hey, some days I want to go in, some days it's not feasible and I just want to do the virtual side.
Yeah. And I think actually this experience is probably going to change the industry. At least it's going to change Yoga 6. We're already talking about, do we want to keep some of these classes virtual? We'll have them happening in the classroom in real life. And nothing's ever going to take away the heat, the lighting, the music, the sound, the community, which is a big part of it, right? Just being around other people and being part of a community. But it's also nice if you can just maybe log in from home and take the class from your bedroom, because you can't leave because you've got a, you know, a sick kid, or you've got a baby and no babysitter, or you got a conference call 5 minutes after and you got to jump on. I think that that's going to be something that we're going to continue to offer, because it's been very well received and I don't see it as competing with the real product. And it's also a great way for us to keep our members happy and our attrition down.
No, that sounds great. I mean, listen, I really appreciate, it sounds like you guys are doing, you know, Xponential is doing, you know, a lot of things that a lot of businesses are being forced to do, but they got a little bit of a jump start on it because they already had some of these offerings in place. You know, I really appreciate you coming on and talking about Yoga 6. Obviously, they're growing like crazy. Mm-hmm. So, which is keeping you busy, I'm sure. If anybody wants to learn about Yoga 6, they can go to yogasix.com. They can find Yoga 6 on Instagram and LinkedIn. Is there any other place you want to direct people to go if they're interested in learning more about the franchise or just learning more about the system itself?
Just our website as the best place to start. We've got some classes up on the website. You can kind of take a peek and see what they look like.
Thank you so much, Lindsay. I know I've taken up a good amount of your time and I'll let you go, but really a pleasure to meet you and speak with you. And I wish you the best of luck with all your endeavors with Yoga 6 and into the future. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you so much for tuning in for another episode of Franchise Euphoria. If you enjoyed this episode or have enjoyed the podcast in general, I would really appreciate it if you could go to iTunes and leave me a rating and review. It really helps to get this podcast out to more and more people. So the easy way to do it is go to iTunes and in the search box, put in Franchise Euphoria. You will then see my cover art and you click on my smiling face that says Franchise Euphoria, and then click on the link that says ratings and reviews. It's that simple, but boy, oh boy, does it mean the world to me when people leave ratings and reviews. And like I said, it really helps get the show out there. Once again, would love it if you would go to iTunes and leave a rating and review if you enjoyed this episode or other episodes of the show. And until the next time, happy franchising.